In Christ, I am complete. I mean, I've been running around and doing, but I never stopped to think of who I really am in Christ. I've been doing and never realized that at first, before I come into the great doing, I am to be. So I was giving out of what I wasn't. I couldn't even recognize in me. I was giving to people what I didn't know I was. Or trying to give to, you know, I'm telling you, you're a son. And I didn't know that I was a son and so loved by God.
What a message today. Wow.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise the Lord. It is another beautiful day. And I'm so thankful today to be here today with a woman in the studio that's got such joy radiating off her. This woman is from Jamaica, the island of Jamaica. Can you say that?
Jamaica.
And her name is Claudette Nicholson.
And she is a graduate of the Global School of Supernatural Ministry.
Wow, supernatural ministry. I mean, yes. Is this something we need?
We certainly do.
Oh.
Need supernatural ministry.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, why are you going to the Global School of Supernatural Ministry?
After I was born in Jamaica, raised in the church in Jamaica, came to know the Lord, a church of God, where my parents were active members and ministers. Accepted the Lord about 15 years old, and then by the time I was 17, I had drifted away a little bit. I backslid because I'd left the rural area and went into the city. So the city life was very appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I drifted away from the Lord. Then I had a child out of wedlock. And to that, the Lord called me again. This was the awesome voice of the audible voice of God this time.
The
so
audible
awesome.
Voice of
yes.
God. Can we hear the voice of God?
We can. We certainly can. And everybody has that capacity to hear.
We do?
We do.
Yeah, keep telling me more.
This particular evening, I was getting ready to go to a matinee. It was a Sunday evening. And I was getting ready to go to with my friends to see a movie. And while I was walking from my house, it was like three houses apart. And I was walking from my house to theirs, and there was no one on the street. Because in Jamaica at that particular time, people had this reverence for, like, on a Sunday, businesses would be closed and everybody would be quiet and indoors. And I heard somebody said, "You are going to church," in a very authoritative voice. "You are going to church tonight." I looked up the street, and before me there was no one. And the voice spoke again, and I looked back again, and there was still no one. And then I felt this conviction from within that the voice was not coming from, you know, from any human being. It was from above. So I looked up, and I was so convicted of the presence of God. And it immediately told me where to go. I went in, which was I was sharing house with a woman. She thought I was getting crazy because I just came in. I'm like, "Do you have a hat? I need to go to church tonight." So that began my walk with the Lord. I kept on ministering and working. One of my focus was on the street. I like street ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So I would.
That's where it's happening.
Yes. We would, especially on a Sunday evening, we would go to the streets after regular midday service. We would go to worship. After we have the regular midday worship, we'd go to evangelize on the streets. And that was one of my greatest areas where the Lord used me to reach people there.
Now, you said God spoke to you audibly. Boy, that's rare. That's what happened to you then. He spoke audibly to you.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. Nobody on the street.
Nobody on the street.
All alone. Okay. Go on, Claudette.
And so I went to the church that he sent me, and you know, after praying and deciding to give my life to him, because as soon as I went into church, there was a certain conviction. I felt all my religious upbringing coming back, and I'm like, I've really backslidden here.
It returned, and you thought, okay.
I've backslidden, and this is not how my life should be. And I sat that night in conviction. I was, you know, it's like there was a panoramic view of my life, how I'd backslidden and all the stuff I'd gotten involved in since I came into the city. And I'm like, Lord, forgive me. This is not who you made me to be.
Wonderful. Did you feel heavy? Did you feel real heavy? Or
I was heavy at that time. And then I was sobbing also. I was crying.
Oh, the Lord loves you. God loves you.
He does. He really loves me. And so I did not really go and make an open confession that night because they were having like a series of meetings. So this was a whole processing.
Yeah, it is a process. You know, you're going through it now.
So that was night one. It was the second night. It was that was like the Sunday night, the Monday night. I went back, and okay. That was the time when he really moved so heavily on my heart. I was so convicted, and I realized that he was really calling me. Mm-hmm. And so I went to the altar and I gave myself to him. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, forgive me. This is not who you made me to be, and I really want to be the person that you've called me to be.
Wow,
and
that so was your prayer.
I asked him into my life. And from there, my life started turning around, and the Holy Spirit started talking to me. I didn't know that God really talked to you that way. So yeah. The Holy Spirit started talking to me and telling me what the Lord wants me to do. You know, friends mm-hmm. that I couldn't hang around mm-hmm. with.
The place it was
that,
personal with
it
you.
It was personal.
You know, tuned right for you.
Yes. Then I had this boyfriend. And, okay. And so the Lord said, you couldn't see him again in that sense because...
Get rid of him, huh?
He was a nice person to me, and I really was kind of hurting because I didn't know how to just let him go. Oh. But I spoke to him about it, and I told him that the Lord has come into my heart to live now. This relationship cannot go on, and you know, so I can talk to you as a friend, but we couldn't have the kind of relationship, you know, intimacy that we were once having. Oh, it was hard.
On
both of us.
Yeah. Oh.
Because I really did love him. There were many Sunday mornings where he would come to my house, and because he, you know, he was still trying and you know, seeing how long I would last in this newfound relationship with the Lord. And yeah. I would just watch him sitting there sobbing, and it's like his special little name to me that he called me was "See You," saying "See." You're leaving me. It's not that I'm leaving you. It's just that I've accepted the Lord, and this is a new walk for me. And I don't know where, you know, and how, where will you would fit in, because this is personal. And it's personal. And but he was very kind. And at that time, I wasn't even working, and he continued paying my rent for a while. And then he migrated. Wonderful. So after serving in the church for a while, they ordained me or appointed me as a missionary, which I'm not sure the concept was right at the time, but I went with it. Mm-hmm. A local missionary. My job was basically to doing street ministries and working at the altar. The Lord would sometimes speak to me, and I would find myself standing up in the service and making utterances, which I didn't even know what it was.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
Because nobody had really taught on the gifts.
Yeah, good. Gifts.
So I had no knowledge that really, you know, after you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke mm-hmm. in tongues, that there wasn't a package of gifts or manifestation that comes with the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was not really taught.
It wasn't taught.
And
you were starting to operate in that?
I was.
You were like a leader there. Yeah. Spirit of God came on. You began to speak in tongues.
I spoke in tongues, and then I would say the English.
Okay, the interpretation.
Interpreting what was said. And sometimes I would just speak without, in my natural language, natural vernacular, my regular English.
Indeed.
I would tell them that the Lord loves you, giving his life for you, and you know, all the expectation that he has. I realized I was encouraging. And so that continued for a while. During my street ministries, I remember one specific time where the Lord gave me specific words mm-hmm. for the area that we went to ministry, mm-hmm. to minister concerning a murder that would take place right there. I didn't know that was well, it was the same kind of prophecy or word of knowledge or whatever that was at that time. That this word that he gave me was a murder that would be committed spot. I went. I was the one that was asked to preach that evening, and I preached, and I brought forth that word about somebody that was interfering in a relationship, and the end result would be somebody getting murdered. Then when we returned the following week, I noticed that people were getting very excited, and they were pointing at me, and they were like, "Sir," you know, and I didn't understand what it was. Then somebody came forward and told the leader of the group that the very words that I spoke about somebody getting murdered, it was done right here on the very spot that we were. Another guy had interfered in somebody in a relationship. That mean, you know, he was having a relationship with another guy's girlfriend, and the guy followed him and killed him right on the very spot that we were ministering. So then I realized that God was really talking to me, and it wasn't just a natural life anymore.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was supernatural.
Well, he probably made me for that purpose to pick on.
God designs us for his purpose, and that's what I guess we mean predestined. The Bible says we're predestined to do good works. You know, that's what his plan is. He's got a plan for everybody. Your message today is going to reach somebody in a unique way. They're going to say, well, I never responded to that voice, but here's somebody that has. Okay,
well,
go on.
He does speak. After a while, a few years later, he told me that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You know, it's not that I heard the audible voice this time. It's just an impression within me that, that I would go to England, then I would come to America. And it did happen. The summer, I have this relative living in London, and this that particular summer.
Okay, so you got to England, London. Now, in Jamaica, you speak the King's English, is that correct?
We speak English,
English type.
Yes, we speak English, and we also have a dialect that we speak, that, you know, broken English, that if I speak it, you would know what I'm saying.
Can you tell me that? I had a cousin once, I think he spoke Jamaican. I could never understand what he was saying. He was raised in California.
Yes, if I really do speak in my dialect, you would know.
Go on, let's try a little bit on these people here. They can't stop you. Go on, say something.
God is so good, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, and you say that to a woman?
It's
just man.
It's to anybody.
Does it have any meaning besides man?
Oh, just man. We just mean that God is good.
Okay.
It's like a tag. You know, it's like.
Then you know you're talking to a Jamaican then. You know, that kind of clarifies that, you know. You know, you come from another Jamaica too, though.
Jamaica, New York. So in America, I came to Queens Village first, and then we finally moved to Jamaica, which Queens Village is an adjoining community to Jamaica, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with them.
Well, there's some tough areas, you know.
Very hard areas.
Well, maybe.
You never know, because we used to do street ministry. We used to pray for people on the street and, you know, pray that the Lord would really touch the hearts of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved to the Bronx, and it was in the Bronx that the Lord told me that I had a personal ministry. I was working with somebody at that point. He had me start a ministry in Jamaica, New York. It was like seven of us, and we began a prayer ministry at first, and then it started to grow, and we started a house church.
Okay.
Then the house church grew, and then we had to come out of the house, and we went into what we call a shopfront ministry. I was ministering, but there was still something that was missing. Spending a lot of time in fasting and praying, and do believe I was hearing the voice of the Lord, but I was not seeing the results that I was looking for. And many times I became frustrated, because I'm like, Lord, you called me, and I'm doing what I think you say I'm supposed to do, but I'm not getting the desired results. Moreover, the area in which we had moved to the shopfront was a very hard and barren area. We seldom had, you know, almost everybody you met on the street, because we still had a street ministry, everybody claimed that they were saved.
Christian environment?
That's what they said.
Okay, they said that.
They said they were, and anybody you would introduce Christ to, the first thing they'll tell you that, I know about him, I really don't have time to discuss
and
anything more.
That stopped you cold then.
It was very discouraging. So we continued praying and seeking the Lord. I was so hungry for more of God because I'm saying I must be doing something that the Lord didn't tell me to do. So I kept on fasting and praying and seeking out and crying out for God. I was just crying. I was just so hungry for God. All night prayers, many fastings, many different types of fasts, Esther fasts, in which it's the ultimate fast where you...
I don't know, but I've never been on an Esther fast.
Nothing is eaten. You don't eat or you don't drink. So it's no water or no food. We would do that for like 3 days.
Wow, you were desperate.
I was very desperate. When I read the Bible and saw the miracles and all that the Lord was doing, I realized that I was just tired of just speaking in tongues and just having a good time on Sunday morning, and people were going back home sick, or I would pass desperate people on the street. People were still, the drunkard would still be by the corner. And I'm saying, but if I'm here to make the community better, you see, what was happening is that I was not having any impact in the community. I was not reaching the community. Mm-hmm. And it really was very disturbing. I didn't know how really to just go and pray for somebody. I do pray sometimes, but it was not really flowing as I wanted it to be, and moreover, to have the effect that I wanted it to have.
Mm-hmm. Bouncing back in your face.
It was. Mm-hmm. So I kept crying to the Lord. I was not getting the results. I started looking at different ministries, ministries on television, and, mm-hmm. Looking for the answer. Because I'm saying, well, Lord, these people, they're successful. Their ministries are growing. So probably if I could come under, one of their organization and have them father my ministry, might be there something that they could teach me that would make my ministry better. So I started visiting, a few of the ministries that I saw on television.
Mm-hmm.
But I went and when I came back, what they, the stuff that they taught and said, I could put those in practice. I started a few of those. But still, it was the same results,
mm-hmm.
because I was just doing instead of being who God wanted me to. I was just doing stuff. I was just doing instead of being who God wanted me to.
I can see you're a worker,
I am.
Give you a task. I can see you're going to tackle it.
So
and that can be a problem then, huh?
It is a problem. God wanted me to be who he wanted me to be, and I wanted to be doing what I think I should be doing to be who he wants me to be. And all I needed to do was to listen to what God is saying and be who he wants me to be. He wanted me to be a son, to be at a special place, to relax in him and to realize that he has it all in control. He's the one that is calling, making the plans and giving me the direction. I wanted to do what I wanted to do to probably please him.
You're making too much noise to hear him, maybe. Oh, no.
I was so hungry for God. So I started at one point, I started seeking the Lord. I went on a quest. This was in 07. And I said, Lord, I started looking for all the scriptures that spoke of seeking. So I started looking at all the scriptures that speak about seeking the Lord. I wrote them out and I read them and I prayed. And I said, Lord, this says this, for example, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things, will be added unto you. I have given my life to you and I'm seeking you then. I need to see the... Probably I was still busy looking for the addition because I needed to be in a place of rest. I was not. I was just, kind of working up my emotions and just trying to,
I've been
to reach a place.
Mm-hmm.
And I really was not still getting the results that I was looking for. And I was watching a program once in one of our TV stations. I don't remember which station it is, but it is Supernatural. It's Supernatural.
Okay.
With Sid Roth.
As soon as you said that, I knew who that was. It's Supernatural. It's not natural.
It's Supernatural. This particular evening, I came in at the end of an interview that he had. I've never heard of Randy Clark. Because I've attended Bible school for 5 years, and I've always heard about Toronto, but I had no idea what went on at Toronto. Because what I heard, what was said in Bible school was, that's where laughing began, and it's called the charismatic ministry.
Yeah.
So I associated laughter with charismatic, not knowing that that was not all what it meant. So yeah. When I would hear a ministry say the pastor was preaching and the congregation was in laughter, I would say, oh, that's charismatic. I had no idea that it was talking about the gifts and the church operating in spiritual gifts. I had no idea.
You didn't get the full story.
No, I did not.
No, okay.
So hearing this interview, I just caught the end and it didn't mean much to me because I didn't hear, you know, what was said at the beginning. But when he introduced a book, a very popular book that he has, that's Randy Clark Cole, There Is More.
There Is More.
I couldn't put the book down. I read that book and story after story after story was impacting my life because I didn't know that the things I was reading in the book, that they were still happening in our time.
Yeah.
And story after story was that one man who was obedient to the Lord, gave his all to the Lord, and was imparted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on him. He was mightily anointed, and he was now in the place to lay hands on people and allow that anointing that was on his life to flow into their lives. And the stories that came out of that were recorded, what happened to them after they were being imparted by him. And I every story after story, I said, Lord, I would like to meet you in this way. I would like you to affect my life in this way. I would like the anointing to flow through my life in this way because I want to. And I look and I see what they did. It wasn't just local stuff. As soon as they were imparted, their ministries would grow. They would start impacting their community. They would start traveling. It's like they were impacting the entire world.
Yeah.
With what was flowing through them.
Yeah.
I mean, there were people, they lost some people that didn't understand, but
that's right.
Their gain was greater than their loss.
Yeah.
And so I was really hungry now. I was hungrier. I'm like, where is this man? Where is this ministry? If this ministry exists, I have to find it. So I got on the phone and I called. And I realized that it's not just, you know, sometimes you see these books and when you call the number, they're not doing what they say, you know, they started out to do originally.
Yeah, that's very true.
So when I called, I realized that it was a now ministry. It was relevant. Wow. It was something that I could reach out to. And the very first voice that I spoke to was like angelic. When she prayed for me, she started prophesying into my life. She started speaking the peace of God over me.
Mm.
And I could feel the peace of God. I was literally feeling it from the other side of the phone.
Wow.
And I realized they were having one of the healing schools that they're having now. And I said I would attend. Here I come to realize that in Christ I am complete. I mean, I've been running around and doing, but I never stopped to think of who I really am in Christ. I've been doing and doing and doing and never realized that at first, before I come into the great doing, I'm to be. So I was giving out of what I wasn't. I couldn't even recognize in me. I was giving to people what I didn't know I was. Or trying to give to, you know, I'm telling you are a son. And I didn't know that I was a son and so loved by God. So, you see, that's what I've been, all these years, I've been ministering out of a broken spirit. Broken in so many areas of my life. And didn't really... I knew I was hurting, but I didn't know how to mend or heal myself.
Yeah.
So coming to this supernatural lifestyle in this global school of supernatural ministry, it's not just teaching me how to work miracles, because you can't teach anyone how to do that.
Yeah.
It's how to be complete in God and walk my identity, knowing that I am a son, and it's not a gender issue, it's a position. I am a son, and God so loved me because this is my purpose. I am his purpose because I am here for him to love me.
Wow.
That's my purpose. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here, that God could love me. There's nothing I could ever do to make him love me less. That doesn't give me a license to sin. But he loves me so much And there have been areas that have been broken from my childhood that I didn't know. My past had affected my present, and I was ministering broken. And God has opened so many doors, so many different ministries have come into this school that, you know, I could get my emotions straightened out, my hurting healed, and my brokenness mended. Then now I can walk in the supernatural lifestyle. I can be who He says I am to be.
Wow.
I am a son. And because I am a son, He loves me and He lives in me and He flows through me. So wherever I go, He goes with me.
Give me Jesus in the morning. You give me Jesus in the evening. Every minute of the day, give me Jesus. He's my reason for living. He's my source of survival. Every minute of the day, give me Jesus. Now give me Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the evening. Every minute of the day, give me Jesus. He's my reason for living. He's my source of survival.
Cool. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.